press play.
Curtain up and now we're in.
It's time to taste in
the shade and tea to spill.
Ooh, drama.
Ooh, that's a tweet. Did they book?
Who got nominated?
They optioned no.
Oh, I'm not well.
What star will we talk to today? Oh, that's a gag, honey.
Say no more. Drama.
Drama. Welcome to Drama, a podcast that covers theater,
pop culture,
love,
and life.
I am Connor McDowell.
And I am Dylan McDowell.
Dylan, it's a twin talk.
Long overdue, as they always tend to be. You know, the whole plan was once a month, but then we started booking amazing and amazing and amazing guests. And it was like, wait, people would rather hear from them, right?
I know. But I get DMs all the time. They're like, when is the next twin talk? When is the next twin talk? I mean, the DMs say other things too. Let's be honest.
Of course. Of course.
But the people, they really want it. What's the line from Kinky Boots at the end where he's like, where Charlie's like,
God, I've seen it so many times.
You've seen Kinky Boots so many times. I remember you said to me at one point, I think I'm good.
Yeah. I think probably after we saw Jake Shears do it, I think.
Well, I also, to be fair, I think it was many times close together too.
It was. It was. Yeah. It was three times within a year, which, you know, I admire people who can go see the same show all the time, over and over again. But I think you and I have the same mentality of maybe twice and then maybe not again for a while. And the same goes with movies for me. The same goes with TV series. There are very few things that I rewatch. And you and I always say to each other, there's so much out there to consume. Why would you continue to consume the same thing over and over again?
I know.
However, I have my list. Some people do it as a coping mechanism. A lot of people with anxiety do it because it's comforting. You know what's going to happen. You're not going to be taken by surprise. You return to that same world. So I completely get it.
My Virgo brain just has this running to watch list in my notes app that is broken down by streamer or network that is all the shows that I need to watch. And at the bottom of the list, it's all the movies that everyone tells me I need to watch. Dylan, the list is absurd.
I admire you for like writing it down and taking people's suggestions seriously. The only thing I'll say is about like repeating media, I do listen to the same music every day. Almost
there,
without fail.
There is that. And speaking of that, wow, I can't stop listening to Gracie Abrams. Dylan, it's a problem.
It is
a problem. I don't know what to say other than that. I really feel like it's a sickness. I'm like so shook at this weird obsession that I have. I mean, I still obviously am Sabrina Carpenter short and sweet down. I'm rooting for her at the Grammys this Sunday, of course. But what is it about Gracie Abrams' album that has me hooked? I'm so like addicted.
It's funny, you know, Sophie Carmen Jones has been very front of mind lately because she just finished her run in Moulin Rouge.
And had a birthday.
Oh, and was her birthday?
I think so.
She had a big couple of days. But I think your dose of drama on our episode with her last summer was Gracie Abrams.
Summer.
And so I'm looking, you know, it's probably been, what, 7 or 8 months since we had her on the show. And her being Sophie Carmen, not obviously Gracie. But, you know, I think the last time I've listened to Gracie was when you and I were together over like the holiday season.
Well, like I can't stop playing her in the car.
Yeah, it was all
Free
you played.
Now, I know you, you know me. I'm recently re-obsessed with Good Luck Charlie. I really need help. Of course, that's so true. Hits every single time.
It does. The bridge is unreal. I'm very partial to the SNL performance.
You love it.
I don't know what it is.
You love it.
I think she becomes a vocalista down.
You did. You teased that ahead of time. And I was kind of like, oh, where's the breath support? Did you watch Timmy Chalamet hosting SNL this weekend?
I did. I watched it last night. And it was not my favorite episode of the season. But I think that he remains. I mean, he can kind of do it all.
Oh, wow.
And he has the riz.
Oh, no. I mean, he does.
I see why he was spreading all over LaGuardia High School.
No, it was NYU's campus, my darling.
Okay. Well, forgive me for not knowing all of the New York arts-based academies.
He does have the riz. I just can't get behind that facial hair he was rocking during the...
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. The posts online about... people being like, oh, you could walk into any gas station and see the same thing. Like, you know, it's so funny to me,
That's
but
hilarious.
he has such a great sense of humor. And I think that this was, granted, our Oscar is the Academy watching SNL and thinking, I don't know.
If he stays top of mind.
Clearly, the only thing the Academy cares about is voting their friends in, which is why Emilia Perez has gotten so many nominations. And I have not seen the discourse in a long time where online hates something that keeps getting awards. Like, I feel like normally we're at least conditioned into liking something. Maybe it's because it's getting awards and praise, but I obviously the Academy isn't looking at all of the tweets.
Justice for Selena, and that's all I'll say. Anyway, dose of drama. Anyway,
There is so much to get into, whether,
there's so much going on, I know. But I want to just say, I thought it was really interesting that Timmy sang Bob Dylan songs on SNL. Obviously, it's an awards thing or like a promotion of his movie thing, but I have to give it up to like whatever press person or manager or agent or studio person that was like, here's a great idea for Timothy to do during his awards run, put him on the stage at SNL. I only made it to Weekend Update, so I still have to finish the show, but he was so cute to me in that barista sketch.
I know. Oh, that
Physically,
was
physically,
so
physically.
funny. Well, I think there's like a thing when someone's a barista. It like kind of automatically makes them an object of desire.
Well, it's like they're artsy. Do they know my name? Do they know my order? You know?
Are they judging your order? But the second performance he did, I preferred to the first. I wish that he would have done well-known Bob Dylan songs. He did like lesser known, although they all kind of have a similar vibe to them. It didn't really necessarily, like I wasn't bumping that afterwards.
Are you ready to admit on the podcast what you whispered to me 15 minutes into A Complete Unknown?
I will go on the record and say it is that it was 10 minutes in, I looked at you and I whispered, he's winning the Oscar. He was amazing. He really, really was.
Agree. He was amazing. I loved him in the movie, and I think he does have a shot. He has a shot. Even though I did love Adrien Brody in The Brutalist. And Ralph Fiennes, of course, was incredible in Conclave.
Yeah. See, I've yet to see The Brutalist. As we discussed on our last, here's that moment in the podcast where we plug it, on our last bonus episode on Patreon, which is Drama Plus. It is where you get two bonus episodes a month of just Connor and I, conversations like this, but maybe a little bit more spicy. And we
Wow.
discussed that it's very hard to find a chunk of time to go watch it. The intimidating idea of an intermission, 3.5 hours runtime, it's like, what might be happening in the outside world in that time? And then you think, oh, well, if you go see any musical on Broadway, sometimes the running time gets close to that. So, or two and
That's
a half.
interesting. I will say though, each act was longer than, or each part of The Brutalist was longer than like two parts of a Broadway show. I mean, act one of Wicked is like an hour and a half though. So I guess I'm saying that with a grain of salt, but then you break for 15 minutes at The Brutalist and then you go back to another 90 minute or so movie. It's two movies.
Wow.
It's two movies. Why didn't they just do this with Wicked? Why didn't they just release part one and two at once and put an intermission in the middle? Oh, I know why. Money. But anyway, I think I'm in the minority here that I felt the runtime of The Brutalist a little bit, and I didn't love that there was an intermission. Maybe it's because I watched it in the middle of the day on a Saturday, but it felt like I was just sitting there for too long. And I thought the movie was great, but I was getting like itching ready for like my Saturday night. You know what I mean? I was ready to go. I was hungry by the end of it. Now is it on me to not have eaten before, to not have packed sufficient snacks for part two, to pick a seat that was right behind somebody with a tall bun in their hair that they kept putting up and putting down throughout the movie, and it was blocking all of the closed captions of the film. That's all on me. But I did still like the movie, and I found out the next day about the AI of it all.
So what
So
is the AI? Because like I said, I haven't seen it.
the simplest version I can boil it down to is I guess they used it to correct some of Adrien Brody and Felicity Jones's accent work to make it sound more authentically Hungarian. And they used it to artificially build some architecture in part two. Do you know what the movie's about?
I do. I
Okay.
do.
I didn't really know. I didn't really know.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. Yeah. Well, I know that. Is AI similar to like autotune, or it's like probably in Emilia Perez and A Complete Unknown, and I guess Wicked didn't have much, but there's these movies that have auto-tune. So what is the argument there?
Well, I think it's 'cause like a lot of the reasons for the strikes last year were involving AI.
Okay.
Specifically in like writing scripts is what I can think of during the writers portion of the strike. But remember like how at Disney Plus was like AI putting children into their TV series instead of hiring real actors. So I think it's part of the principle of the thing of ruining some of the quote unquote authenticity of these performances. It bothers me more in the accent than it does in not consulting an architect for the structures of the buildings that they
Yeah.
to just do it on their own.
That's
But
so interesting.
yeah, I don't know. I guess I don't know enough about it, but here we are on a podcast talking about it. But I will say it was just one of those funny moments where it's like, oh, I saw the movie before the drama
It's like seeing
came
Sunset
through.
Boulevard pre Where Can I Get That Hat? And then
Which,
having to
Dylan,
reckon with your feelings about it.
nothing makes me laugh more than a where can I get this hat joke. I'm
Every
keeping
time
them
I see someone
alive.
wearing a hat, Connor, I think it. Like, my brain is so sick.
Oh, so good. And listeners, speaking of Sunset Boulevard, I went back and I saw a friend of the pod, Caroline Bowman, play Norman Desmond for One Night Only. And I recapped it on a recent episode of Drama Plus that Dylan just plugged. But
Yeah.
what were we talking about before we started talking about The Brutalist?
Well, we were just sort of discussing movies and runtime and whatnot. And I think that this is a great
Oh,
moment to
yeah.
mention that Oscar nominations came out. And
Yeah.
it is something that we absolutely love. You and I are awards gaze down always. And we talk about it with our friends Nick and Sophia every single day and Isabel. But they host, you know, the podcast Oscar Wilde. Everyone needs to check it out, where they break down the whole Oscar season. But we're a few days past Bo and Yang and Rachel Sennett making those nomination announcements. What are your thoughts?
Well, I feel like it was mostly expected, with the exception of I was sad that Daniel Craig didn't get in for Queer and that movie didn't get any nominations at all, specifically with costumes. I thought it was so beautifully made, the costume design. And so I was sad about Daniel Craig, happy for Sebastian Stan. Now, it does bother me that, he got a nomination for playing Trump days into the next Trump administration. Well, yes, but here we are. And I love Sebastian Stan, and I respect that he's really just choosing to dive into the art of it all.
Totally.
Yes, I'll leave that there. Sad the Challengers didn't get any Oscar nominations. So sad. That was one of my favorite movies from last year.
Oh yeah. And I feel like there was like a momentum, especially with the score and that one song.
I was honestly really sad that neither Pamela Anderson nor Angelina Jolie got nominated.
I was gonna say my big thing, my whole snub was Pamela Anderson. And she was so great. I would have accepted a Jamie Lee nomination if it meant we would have gotten the Pamela Anderson
Jamie
in that.
Lee is all of us.
Exactly. And her seeming like campaigning on Instagram was absolutely hilarious camp to me. But I just thought Pamela Anderson delivered such a grounded, incredible performance. And there's that conversation you and I often have of could anyone else have played the role, met that circumstance where it's at. And I just don't know if that's going to happen again for her with such a beautiful, well-crafted movie that Coppola did ultimately create. I think in less than 20 days, I want to say it was like 18 days.
Wow.
I don't know. That to me was sort of the bummer. I saw a tweet. I feel like this whole podcast is us referencing tweets and whatnot, but that's sort of who we're always in conversation with is the world. When Cynthia Erivo was saying that she was very disappointed that John M. Chu was snubbed or left off the list for best director, and someone was like, whenever someone shares their sadness about someone being snubbed, I want them to tell me who they'd remove from the five.
Oh,
And I was like,
interesting.
okay, I don't necessarily know if I can rank a five with, especially with actress, which was such a competitive field. And I also haven't seen all of the movies because they haven't all been released here in Ohio yet. But I think it's fair to say you think someone should get an award nomination and not have to choose who is or isn't deserving of it. You know, it's like, and that's why I love with Broadway, sometimes they'll expand the category based on the number of eligible performances and if people are close in the voting. So I would have loved a Best Actress six if it meant Pamela Anderson could have gotten in there.
I know. Well, I after the nominations happened, I was researching The Last Showgirl because I had just seen it, and then I didn't know much about it going into it or going out, but it did. The movie really moved me, especially the Miley song playing over the final scene. What was real, what wasn't. I mean, I was gagged. But the movie is based on a play.
Ooh.
Yes. And in the play, a lot of the other characters, it dives into their stories more, like Brenda and Kiernan and Jamie Lee. And they really wanted the movie to feel like super intimate, like a play, which is why they focus more on Pamela Anderson's character, Shelley. But the play is based on the writer's visit to this Vegas show called Jubilee that she visited right before it closed, this
Oh,
iconic
this is
play.
amazing.
I know. So I love that. I guess I didn't know all this. I'm like, I'm online all day. Why was none of this told to me yet? Did the movie get screwed in its like release and everything? But I guess an original version of this movie screenplay was like it followed more of the play. Like we knew more about all those other main characters, but they really wanted to be more intimate. Oh, the scene where Jamie Lee it dances to Total Eclipse of the Heart, that was like improvised by her and added in the moment. She
Oh, it wasn't in the script or anything.
No, she, while they were there, she was doing like field research, as we'll say, and she saw that some of the cocktail waitresses in the casinos would get up and dance and they get more money. And those women are paid more for dancing. So Jamie did it in one take. She improvised the whole dance. She picked the song. And I
We
love
can
that little
tell. We
tidbit.
can tell.
We can tell, but it just made me deeply sad. The movie was so melancholy to me. And like you were saying to me, between like The Last Showgirl, The Substance, even Maria, and what was the other we were talking about? Oh, Sunset Boulevard, I think. We were just talking about them all kind of in conversation about women of a certain age who've reached a point in their careers and they're kind of wondering like, what's next? Or why not me?
Or why is
Or
someone no longer buying what I'm selling?
yeah, it's so sad.
It is very sad. I think what's interesting is that that's the conversation that's sort of happening. And I love that a risky movie like The Substance did get a lot of attention. And it was sort of, I guess, the one that cut through of the three. Now I need to see that this play happens and it needs to go to Broadway and Pamela Anderson will get a Tony instead. So that's my new
Oh,
thought on that
yes.
whole thing.
I love that take. That's so fun of you to say. Wait, speaking of plays turned into movies, we at Sundance, we just had the Kiss of the Spider-Woman
Yes.
premiere to like great reviews.
Amazing reviews last night. And I just pray it goes to theaters. I think,
Oh, I know.
I wonder if they're going to consider J-Lo's recent sort of troubles when it comes to box office or ticket sales or streaming numbers.
You mean canceling our entire tour after This Is Me Now flopped
Right.
and This Is Me?
Right. So who can really say what's going to happen there? But I honestly think that the success of movies like Wicked and honestly Amelia Perez and other movie musicals could mean they're going to take a chance on a movie like Kiss of the Spider-Woman going to theaters first before it drops on Netflix or wherever it may end up. Probably Netflix. But I mean, I love the idea of J-Lo getting this star turn.
Amazing. Well, and my friend who was there that saw it said, she's not the lead of the movie. That's not the main character. She's in like, he said she's only in like six of the songs. Great performance. He was like, it's not as good as Selena or Hustlers, but it's a star-making performance, the kind that gets nominated for awards. He said, this will probably be a supporting submission, even though she is the Spider-Woman, the titular role, et
Right.
cetera. She would be considered, the Spider-Woman. And I was literally shaking to myself because we're going to see all these tweets soon, but I'm already picturing next year's award season, J-Lo versus Ariana Grande for
Oh,
Wicked,
yeah.
Ariana and Wicked Part Two. And you've got J-Lo for Kiss of the Spider-Woman. And it's like Zoe Saldana versus Ariana again,
Or
like
Selena.
after, or Selena, period. Ariana just can't win with these Latina women with these amazing performances coming for her. Do you think Ariana's going to beat Zoe?
No, I think that Zoe is one of the most sure things, unless something major happens over the next month where the movie is completely besmirched and everyone just really turns on it in the way that the conversation online has been happening. But I feel like it's going to go to Zoe still, but.
Yeah, that'd be super interesting. I know. And I feel like best actress is still kind of anybody's game.
I would agree. I would agree. Oh, gosh, I don't even know who I want to win at this point. I think it's Demi Moore, but from what I hear, is her name Fernanda Torres?
Fernanda Torres, yes.
I hear that her performance is amazing, and that's one of the movies that I just haven't been able to see yet. So,
Oh, I know. And there is only one AMC that shows it here in New York, and almost every showing at a reasonable time sold out. Days in advance.
wow.
Yes, it's beyond sold. So Again, that's the reasonable show times.
I joined Letterboxd, and I don't think I've talked about it on here yet. And they sent me an email a couple weeks ago inviting me to see Hard Truths for free at the local Cinemark back up in Cleveland. I wasn't able to go,
fun.
But I recommend maybe signing up for Letterboxd. They might send offers about like screenings and whatnot for those smaller movies. I'm not rating films on Letterboxd, I will say.
What are you doing on it?
Just logging them.
Okay, so it's just your record.
It's just my record.
Such history. Like Tinsley Mortimer's mother and the meme of her.
Yeah, Dale. Oh my God. Dale. Okay, Dale. So, you know, we've kind of mentioned, I think we're good with the Oscars at this point. More to come. The conversation will probably continue.
Did we ever fully dive into any one category, any one thought for longer than a few seconds? The only thing we lingered on was Last Showgirl, but agreed. If any of y'all want to hear more of our Oscars takes, just DM us and we'll tell you, because my brain's in a million places. Well, and we'll be talking about it for the next month. So,
and we've also been having these conversations for months and months, you know, like Wicked came out. We discussed Wicked. The Substance, I don't think we've talked about too much, but I think for me, it's mostly about Demi's performance now at this point. Okay. I just mentioned Wicked, and there's been some big news in the Broadway world about casting.
Yes. I'm so excited. Friend of the pod, one of the original guests of Drama.
OG.
Episode 3, Allie Trim is playing Glinda full-time on Broadway, and y'all, you need... Dylan, what was that? Were you getting a note from the producer?
I think it's episode 4.
Okay, episode 1 was Chris Rodriguez.
Mm-hmm.
Episode 2 was Zach Adkins.
Mm-hmm.
Episode 3 was...
I think Blaine Krause.
Oh, I thought Allie was 3, Blaine was 4. Maybe it's flipped. Wow. I mean, we could look this up right now, but I don't care.
Does anybody really care?
Well, I think it's funny. But y'all need to go back and listen to that episode. It's called For the Girls. And y'all, she talks about playing Glinda on Broadway as being her dream. And then, you know, obviously she became the standby for a couple years, but she's doing it full time. I'm so happy for her.
Me too. And I heard she's unreal. I heard she's belty.
Belty.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah,
yeah. I hope she's funny.
She will be. I mean, I haven't been able to get back to Wicked. I think the last time I saw it was that the final dress before it reopened on Broadway. And
wow.
So it's been years now at this point, and I would love to see Allie. And I would also love to see the first principal Black actress playing Elphaba, Lencia.
On Broadway,
because Alexia Kadeem has played the role in...
And Saikon Sangla, and Brandy Siobhan Massey, and Lily Cooper.
A video went around of her singing Satisfied, because she's, I'd say her big thing has been Hamilton so far. Like Angelica, and it was gaggy. So I'm really excited to hear what she does with the role.
Yeah, she has the vocals down. Mm-hmm. We know she's going to be great. I mean, I'm just like, I'm thrilled.
Yeah. I am still holding out hope for other friend of the pod, Felicia Pearl Mpasi, to be Elphaba one day. I was hoping this would be her in this announcement.
I know.
But like I said, holding out hope.
Hopefully she'll do it one day. She has to.
She's going to manifest it, because that's what she does. So other Broadway news that just came through like an hour or so ago before we started recording. The Lost Boys musical that has been in development with Michael Arden is going straight to Broadway next spring. And it's going to be opening at the Palace Theater.
Oh, my God.
I know.
At the Palace Theater next spring.
At the Palace Theater next spring.
Okay, so this throws a wrench in all the rumors that were saying that Queen of Versailles is going to move to the Palace next season.
Yes, I think that was truly just a Mandela effect rumor, like... Versailles, Palace Theater, whatnot. I'm honestly relieved it's not going in there, because I do think it's a very hard theater to fill and sell and have a healthy run in. Something like The Lost Boys could do really well there, though. It's beloved 80s property. The producing team is amazing. Patrick Wilson is involved. Michael Arden's kind of the it director. I mean, he's got maybe Happy Ending, Queen of Versailles, this. I'm sure a million
so
other
true.
Things.
Parade's on tour now.
I hope
that's so
Casey Likes is attached. Like, I know that he did some readings and whatnot, but he's our movie to Broadway mainstay these days, especially 80s type movies. So,
oh my God, that's so true.
In my long storied love of the theater, I have sort of grown to understand that it is such a risk to open on Broadway without an out-of-town run. And so I just hope that there's a lot of developmental labs and workshops, much like Smash is doing, before it comes to the palace next year, because you really learn a lot when a show goes out of town.
Why didn't Smash go out of town like the show cautionarily says you should do is go out of town?
Such a good point. I don't know. So many things don't go out of town anymore. It's very, very expensive.
Yeah, that's true.
But anyway, so the last piece of Broadway news I want to touch on is Kiki Palmer announced that she's going to be going to Broadway. No idea when, but it's a Muhammad Ali story. She plays his first wife. She said it's going to be her play debut on Broadway.
Wow, that's so exciting.
I know.
That
Love
just reminded
her.
me.
Love everything she does.
Oh my God, love, love, love. I always love seeing tweets about what roles Kiki should play on Broadway one day. And somebody said, like, Kiki Palmer in Hello, Dolly, like, in years and years and years is going to be everything. It will
You always
be.
said she would have been an amazing sugar cane in Some Like It Hot.
Oh my God, yes. She's got it. She has the most charisma on the planet, like beyond.
Her Marty in Grease Live was sensational.
Okay, that was just making the rounds.
It
And I
was.
watched it and I forgot about the vocal choice that she made in her speaking voice and singing voice. It was iconic.
It's so great.
Oh,
I'm
I
on the
just
floor.
love
I'm on the
her.
floor.
I'm on the floor. And then I also watched a clip of her doing In My Own Little Corner, and she's just got such a singular approach to everything. Can you believe she did it with Nini?
That's what makes a
That is
star.
what makes a star. 100p, or as you always say, that I always say, 100%.
Not only do you say 100%, you say it 100%, 100%.
Do I really? I
On and off pod.
listeners, Dylan revealed to me that my catchphrase is 100%. And I never knew this. I really never knew. I could list off a bunch of other things that I say constantly all the time. That's just not one of them. So I'm shook. I'm so shook. What's your catchphrase?
I don't know if I have a catchphrase, but on the podcast, I'm very guilty of going,
Oh, well, that's a safe response when you're listening to a story as an active listener, famously interviewing people.
I learned that from Drew Barrymore.
You did. You did.
Yeah, speaking of Drew, the Charlie's Angels reunion. Speaking of Drew and Demi, I should say. Vanity Fair profiled Cameron Diaz, Lucy Liu, and Drew Barrymore to celebrate Demi Moore's nomination for The Substance. And I didn't watch the whole thing. I only watched the clip that they posted on Instagram, but it is so cute and heartwarming. Drew was kind of like hosting it, I will say.
Okay, she can't help herself.
Yeah. And then I was looking at all their like follower counts on Instagram, and Drew has the most.
She's probably the most active in terms of putting out social content, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
Because of
she
her
has
show.
her show.
Yeah.
Gosh, that Charlie's Angels and Charlie's Angels Full Throttle is truly formative in our pop culture love. I can remember just being obsessed with those movies, renting them on demand, like on our
Like
parents'
a pay-per-view
TV.
type situation.
Oh, whenever we had a sleepover, we would just love to throw it on. We just loved how campy and sexy and funny and action-packed, all the different costumes, the wigs, the line deliveries. It was everything to us.
And this was like prepubescent for us as well. Like we probably shouldn't have been watching. And because it was prepubescent, I don't think you and I had really discovered our thirst for beautiful men as
Oh,
well. And
yeah.
so it wasn't about, you know, the fact that there weren't, because there's not a ton of male eye candy, at least in the first one. It's more so in Full Throttle.
Yeah, well, you got Justin Theroux in Full Throttle.
And there's like a surfer guy
Oh,
in the beach
the
scene and
scene where
stuff, but
Natalie's talking to
Natalie, aka Cameron Diaz. I mean, you're so right. It when you ask so many people like your Ring of Keys moment, we have so many. And Charlie's Angels was certainly one of them. Full Throttle more so than the just Charlie's Angels, the first one. But I also, Hunter and I recently watched Fellowship of the Ring, Lord of the Rings. And that one too, Connor. I mean, we were obsessed with Lord of the Rings.
Oh, yeah. We had the Burger King toys, and you could collect all of them. There must have been at least a dozen, if not two dozen. It was every single character, plus like an orc, plus,
Galadriel, yeah.
Galadriel and Elrond and all those different people. And, you put them all together, you made a circle, and they had little catchphrases if you pressed a button. I wonder if those batteries ever died. I'm suddenly wondering like how those lasted so long. But we had their catchphrases memorized. And they did it in the style of early Real Housewives where their taglines in the opening credits were pulled from something they just said on the show.
Yes.
But these Burger King Lord of the Rings toys were lines just pulled from the movie. And so they were just the most random of lines, but we ate it up. We had all the Burger King toys. We had all the action figures from like Toys R Us. We would recreate little dramas ourselves. And I don't even think we were redoing the movie all the time. It was like,
well, they played other characters in our storylines. Like Eowyn from Two Towers was pivotal for, if you know, you know. Yes. That's all I really want to say on it right now. But we're making our way through those movies. And I mean, it's a comfort watch. I guess there are some things that are rewatch worth rewatching, and it is comforting in that way. But
that's so true. Yeah, I know. I would love to go to the movies and watch Lord of the Rings again, just to re-experience it. I can remember going to the, opening night premiere after school for at least the Two Towers. I remember going to
that
one.
We did for Two Towers and Return of the King.
Return of the King, okay.
I don't have any memory of seeing Fellowship in the theater.
I do, because our friend Sean and his family took us. And I remember Sean being like, it's going to get really scary when the hobbits first leave the Shire and they're being followed by
the ring wraiths.
Like, the ring wraiths. Oh my God. And they're like hiding in the trees. That was scary as hell.
Yeah. There's also a really scary moment when Bilbo suddenly gets like, he's has been away from the ring for a while. And when him and Frodo reunite in Rivendell, he's like asking him if he can touch it again. And his face gets all like mangled and terrifying. It's like a really, it's a jump scare moment.
Oh, I remember that too. So chilling.
I know.
I love it. Good. I'm so glad you guys are watching those movies. I want to rewatch slash watch for the first time the Bridget Jones franchise. I've only ever seen the first.
But I've never seen any.
There's two, there's three, and there's going to be a new one coming out with Crush of the Week, Leo Woodall, of course.
Crush of the Week, he comes in and out of the zeitgeist. Like, I feel like he's there, and then he quietly disappears for a while, and then he returns.
I like that. We don't get sick Me of too. Him. We miss him.
We do. We had White Lotus, disappeared. Came back for one day, disappeared. And now he's back for this.
For Bridget Jones and
Prime Subject Suspect. What's that new series called?
Prime Target?
Prime Target. Maybe I'll start that one soon. But
I need to watch it. I just binged.
Character. He plays a gay character with friend of the pod Frothy.
Oh my God. Love Frothy. I remember recording with him.
Yes.
During Omicron
TV. Something terrible. I received shocking and terrible news right before that episode recording.
But wasn't there also a scheduling snafu? Or something
with Fra,
like we had the time wrong or he had the time wrong. He was like, oh, I'm at the gym. Wait, could you later tomorrow? I forget.
So yes. And it ended up, I think, being the same day, just like later for us, like just a little bit later.
Yeah.
Oh my okay. God, wait, so you just said you binged something. We need to talk about it real quick.
Oh my God. I finally watched Presumed Innocent on Apple TV Plus, starring Jake Gyllenhaal and Ruth Negga, and his friend of the pod, Gabby Beans, is in it. You've been telling me, our parents have been telling me for months that I need to watch it. Dylan, I did something I haven't done in years, which was watch almost the entire thing in one night.
That's so fun.
I watched episode 1 last week, and then last night watched episode 2 through 8.
It is so good. They really, I don't know how it was released, if it was a week to week or if it was an all drop at once, but if it was week to week, they really did a good job of kind of ending each episode on a cliffhanger and moving on to the next. Jake Gyllenhaal is one of our best.
He's amazing. I believed every single word he said. And thinking back on the show, knowing what I know by the end, he made such great choices. He made such smart choices. But Ruth Negga was like unbelievable. And it reminded me of how great she was in that movie Passing.
Yeah, with Tessa Thompson.
Yeah. Oh my God. Ruth was incredible. In Passing.
Oh my God.
Ravishing. She has few scenes, but leaves such a deep impact on that film. Gosh, that's a snub. That's an Oscar snub. I was actually researching it last night before bed. I was like, we all thought she was going to be getting nominated that year. Like, what happened? And she got like a few of the big ones, like BAFTA, SAG, and something else. But she wasn't like sweeping all season long like Dave Eyne and Joy Randolph did last year.
Was that 2021?
It was.
Oh. So I feel like we watched it when we were quarantining in our family home.
I think it came out like fall. Yeah, I think it was fall 2020 or whatever, and then came out in that award season. So that was Minari, right? This year of Minari and
Nomadland. Promising Young Woman. Great. I thought it was a great season.
Wow.
For movies. But, we're coming up on 5 years since the pandemic.
I can't.
Five years. This March will be 5 years.
Dylan, I'm super excited. I know we're wrapping up here, but you're coming to visit New York
Yes.
this weekend. If y'all see us out at the show, say hello.
Yeah, say hi. We're gonna be in the theater district pretty much nonstop, as we tend to. And we have a sickening lineup of shows. We're finally getting to see Gypsy and Cult of Love, friend of the pod, Molly Bernard, period. We're returning to Oh Mary
Oh,
to
Betty.
see
Oh,
Betty.
Betty.
Oh, Betty. And a few other shows as well. So it's that well, you'll hear all about it
Yes.
because we're going to be recording together at least one episode when we're together. And it's always so much fun. I look forward to these trips. I plan them within an inch of their life. You know, it's going to be
And
amazing.
seeing some shows that have future guests in them that we have lined up recordings for.
Yes.
So y'all better get ready. Those are some hints for maybe some of the, and they weren't even all shows that we just mentioned. It's some other ones too. So stay tuned on our socials. Make sure you're following At the Drama Podcast to keep up with everything. But Dylan, have we gotten to everything? Is this the end of the road?
We have. Yeah. I think that we should do a dose of drama.
Okay. I have a dose of drama. So I was just talking about this yesterday with a friend. You know, you mentioned that it's been 5 years since the novel coronavirus, the COVID-19 pandemic swept the world. And famously, we got our Broadway season cut off in March of 2020. There were still basically two full months of new Broadway shows coming out. And obviously, we love the Tony Awards and Tony Talk. We're talking Tonys, Twins talking Tonys famously. And something that still haunts me from that Tony season, which is the best lead actor in a musical race. So ultimately, Aaron Tveit ended up being the only nominee at that Tony Awards that came fall 2021. But I always say to people, I'm like, if it was going like it was going, we would have had Rob McClure for Doubtfire that season. We probably would have had Isaac Cole Powell for West Side Story. And then I'm forgetting one other big one. And I couldn't remember yesterday either. But I was thinking, I'm still pretty convinced that Aaron would have won that year. But yeah, I don't know. It still haunts me that we'll never have those Tony.
Well, it's just interesting to think about what would have happened in general because Girl from the North Country was happening, Six was happening. Obviously, Moulin Rouge had opened at the very beginning of that season. Doubtfire would have had a proper opening. Diana would have had a proper opening. A lot of things just were sort of bungled in the mix there. And it's crazy to think that it was 5 years ago because in many ways it feels very recent. But in other
Another
ways, it
year.
does feel like a long time ago. I mean, I had a
Oh.
completely different job.
Oh my God, it's crazy. Okay, Diana was on Broadway, coming to Broadway. Maybe Ro Hartranft would have been nominated. Flying Over Sunset was coming to Broadway. Maybe Tony Yazbek, who I thought was incredible in that show, would have been nominated.
Was it Harry that got the nomination?
And Carmen.
Or did neither of them?
I think
It was
just
just
Carmen.
Carmen?
Wait, I'm going to say something that's so chilling. Sing Street was supposed to go to Broadway that season.
Wow.
Whoa.
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 Which you and I did love
Oh,
that
we
at New York
loved
Theatre
it. It was
Workshop.
so amazing. I heard when they took it out of town, they changed it significantly.
Yes, they did.
And that bums me out a lot. Wow, that's crazy. I'm just looking at the spring shows right now. I pulled up a list, but I'm sure there were others in the fall. Oh, Company was that year, you know? Wow.
Okay, my dose of drama is also theater related. And we were talking earlier about how we do listen to the same music like every day. For some reason, a song from the musical Two Strangers, Carry a Cake Across New York ended up into my Spotify mixture. Okay.
Oh my
I have
gosh.
now listened to the musical through at least six times over the last week. I listen to it every single day, Connor.
You love it.
I love it. It's Sam Tutty, who was like, I think he won the Olivier for playing Evan in the West End. And Dujana Gift,
For playing Dear.
who is going to be in the Snow White movie, actually, it's coming up. But for playing Dare, yeah. And it's sort of like a rom-com musical. It's only a two-person story. Connor, I am obsessed. If anyone is looking to just get a little sampling of the show, I would just recommend listening to the very first song of the show. It's called New York. It is so good. It is an earworm. And I am obsessed. I cannot get enough. And I even get emotional when I listen to it. And I don't even know what's happening because I've yet to read a plot description. So it's just one of those. I mean, you kind of get the gist of it by listening because there's a lot of dialogue in it, but
Okay, I'm so mad at you right now because I wanted to have Sam Tutty on the podcast when it was happening in the West End. And you were like, I don't know. I haven't
well,
seen
now
him.
I
There are
want
a
him
lot
on.
of white boys on the show. I love it. I wanted they came to New York and did promo. Like they shot content for the
Right.
show. That's so cool.
It is Connor. I just need you to listen to that song, okay?
You're smiling and happy in a way about theater that's making me happy. I'm like,
What's funny
wait.
is I was listening to it and Hunter was in the other room and he heard Sam like belting. He goes, "Are you listening to Ben Platt?" And I was like, "Oh,
Oh.
like there is sort of a in the belt. There's sort of a reckless warble that occurs, I would say, when he's belting high, but he is so amazing, which I do think most Evans have that similar.
Interesting. I had a friend that saw it in London, an American friend who went on a trip and saw it, and they said it was really cute.
I would say that's the vibe. Yeah.
So they didn't think that it would make it like a big splash on Broadway, but maybe off.
I mean, it could be, I think it would be really cute off Broadway. I don't think that it would be meant to be a Broadway show by any means.
Oh, okay. Well, I definitely have to listen to that because I need new music because Gracie and Benson Boone and, you know, Short and Sweet and Hit Me Hard and Fast
You're
and
Gen Z
all the
down. It's
songs. Oh.
crazy.
Dylan, these are our Grammy
I
nominees. These are
know.
our, well, not Benson or, well, Benson's nominated. I don't think Gracie got any. Benson was nominated for Best New Artist. Would you believe I am still listening to Good Luck, Babe? And it sounds as fresh and as sweet as it did the first time I heard it at
It
Chapel
does. That song is so good, but we'll see how Chapel turns up at the Grammys.
She's been awful quiet lately. I'll just say that. On her best behavior.
She's pulling a Leo Woodall.
She's pulling a Leo. Okay, Dylan. Well, this was great. This is so fun. I'm so glad the twins got to talking. There was a lot more to
I
discuss today
know.
than I ever could have imagined.
As if you and I don't talk every day about these things, but what I will say is this felt very fresh because I don't think we have talked about a lot of
No,
this.
we haven't.
We've been too busy doing other things like planning my visit and other things. So. All right, Connor. Well, if anyone is not following us on the social medias, please do. We're at the Drama Podcast. We're still on TikTok, still going strong over there at the Drama Pod. And Connor, you are at Connor McDowell. I'm at Dylan McDowell, and I will see you next time. Drama!
Drama.